I'm going to move this over here so I can see the slides. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. So today, as you can see on the slide here, we're going to be looking at the wisdom of the prudent. The wisdom of the prudent. So as we look at this topic, I want to take a look at a couple verses that will form some, I'll say, foundational principles that we want to use as we're thinking about the wisdom of the prudent. The first is that the prudent discerns his way. The second is that the prudent acts with knowledge. So after we look at those foundational principles and those verses, then I want to take a look at a number of different verses in Proverbs that give us a sense of the characteristics of a prudent man. And I've already passed out those verses to a number of you. And when we get to that, I'll ask you to read that to help us save a little time. And then at the end, we'll take a look at a few lessons. Okay, so if you would turn with me in Proverbs to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and I have it up here. It says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving." So as we begin to think about this verse, I wanted to first focus in on the way. Now, as we live our lives, we're all traveling along a way. We all have a path that we're following. It may be our calling in life. It's our career. We're following along a path. We're not static. We're moving along through life. And the way that each of us are placed in is different. My way is not the same as your way. Your way is not the same as my way. We each have a different way. And God has sovereignly designed that way for each of us. That way that we're in has a number of circumstances that have been defined by God. Where were we born? The family that we're in, the gifts and talents that each of us have, our health, our wealth, the jobs we have, all of those are circumstances that God has designed for us individually that affects and factors into the way that we're traveling. Now, as you can see here, we're all moving along our way. But as we move along our way, there's different paths that we can take, right? There's different paths that we take. So, what does the prudent man do? The prudent man discerns his way. Okay? He discerns. He looks forward. He considers his way. He thinks about it. He ponders. He is not just thinking about, you know, the immediate, the next step. But the prudent man is actually looking forward. He's looking at what are the consequences of the way that I'm traveling. And it is his desire that he is governed by wisdom and he follows the path that leads him to consequences that are blessings to him. So as we're going along our path, we may consider our way, we might see opportunities. And as we look at these opportunities, the prudent man will seek to improve on those opportunities. The prudent man, as he's discerning his way, he might see difficulties. And the prudent man will seek to overcome those difficulties. As he's traveling along his way, the prudent man may see dangers. And he will seek to avoid those dangers. The prudent man isn't just living moment by moment, but he's trying to think about the future and how, what are the consequences of the actions and the path that he takes. Oops. So in this proverb, though, we see it contrasted to folly, to the fool. We see here that the fool's path is a way of folly. It's not wisdom. The fool is concerned about what's pleasing him for the moment. The fool, here it says, the folly of the fool is deceiving. What he's doing is deceiving him. And he doesn't really get to see
The consequences are somewhat, you know, they're off in the distance. He's not thinking about them. He's not concerned about those future consequences. Most times, the fool, all he's interested in is the immediate. What's the next thing that's going to happen? How do I satisfy myself now? All he wants to do is satisfy his current wants, his current desires, and that folly hides these future consequences. Well, as we travel along our path, the path that we take, whether it's a path of wisdom or a path of folly, those paths have consequences, right? The path that we take regarding the way we look at our education. So when you're young, what path do you take? Do you take a path that seeks to get education, to gain skill, to gain training? If you take that path, then the consequence is that you will be improved. You'll have abilities so that down in the future, the consequence may be you'll have a better job. The converse is if you're a fool, all you're interested in is the immediate, the fun, the folly. I'm just not going to worry about the future. And as a result, those consequences are that one day you really won't have a skill that is marketable and you'll have a harder time finding a job. Or what about the path of money? How do we deal with our money? If we're prudent and we think about wisdom, we seek to manage our money wisely. We seek to not get into debt. So the consequence is that in the future we're not going to have significant debt that burdens us down. But if we're a fool and we just spend and overspend and overspend, then the consequence is in the future we're going to have to deal with large debt and the problems that causes to us. So we're going along a path. We have to decide and try to discern the path of wisdom versus the path of folly. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, if you would, turn with me now to the next proverb. The next proverb we want to look at is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16. This proverb says, In everything the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. Okay? It begins with, in everything. Is there any doubt? This covers everything. Everything in life. The big issues that you face, the little issues you face, every decision that we make. This is covered by this proverb. The prudent in everything, the prudent acts. The choices we make, those decisions in everything, the prudent acts, and it says then, he acts with knowledge. Okay? So, I've added that to this little kind of model here. So we have a model here of the prudent man going along. He's trying to discern the path of wisdom. He's got to make a decision. As he's going along this path, there's two paths he can take. He can take the path of wisdom. He can take the path of folly. Well, what does he do? He applies knowledge. He needs to apply knowledge to that decision. Well, what's the source of knowledge? What is important to us as we're thinking about knowledge? And if you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay? So before anything, we have to keep in mind the fear of the Lord. And an outpouring of the fear of the Lord is what? We seek to glorify God. Okay? First and foremost, as you're going down your path, as you're choosing and making decisions which path to take, we must first and foremost seek to glorify God. Now, that may mean we have to sacrifice what we want to do. You know, the world may say, go this way. The consequences are you're going to be rich. You're going to be famous. But if you're working and thinking as a prudent man and you're applying God's word, you're going to say, oh, wait, will this action glorify God? And if that action will not glorify God, I don't take that path. Doesn't matter what the world says, doesn't matter how much money, how much fame, I will not go that direction. So first and foremost, we need to know that we have to glorify God. Well then, how do we do that? Where do we find that information? Where do we find that? Well, the source of knowledge. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge. It's the word of God. That's the source of wisdom. God spoke in the Old Testament to people. Now we have His Word. We can look to His Word as the source of knowledge. So, as we're trying to understand knowledge to apply to a decision, as we're going through life, first and foremost, we have to look to the Word of God. Secondly, there's also counsel. We should seek godly counsel. As we're making decisions, as we're trying to understand the path that we're to follow, we should seek counsel. Also, from the Word of God, experience. Now, this is a thing we have to be somewhat careful with, because we have to make sure it's governed by the Word of God, right? We have to interpret experience by the Word of God. But in the Word of God, we have examples. We have examples of others. Paul says, imitate me. So we have these examples in God's Word that helps us to make decisions, to decide which path we want to follow. Also, we can look back at our own experience. We can look back at the experience that we've had and try to understand how God has dealt with us, what were the outcomes, what were the results of that, and based on God's Word, use that to help us in future decisions that we need to make. Another area is education. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, we all need to learn, and we can learn the things of this world. Education is fine, but we have to apply that education in the light of God's Word. And then also prayer. If we aren't clear, if we don't understand the direction to go, we should be praying. And if anyone lacks wisdom, he's to ask of God. We should pray to the Spirit to lead us into all truth. So we need to remember prayer. And then I'll also add this last one. We need to remember love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about knowledge. You know, the knowledge of, you know, food and meats being offered to idols, right? And it says later on, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The issue there is, you can have knowledge and say, hey, I can do this, I can do that. But if you're not acting with love, and that action of yours, that knowledge of yours, causes a brother to stumble, you shouldn't do that. You have to keep in mind love. So I would just submit to us today that as we're seeking to understand and apply knowledge, we have to first look to the Word of God. We want to get godly counsel. We want to consider experience of others and ourselves. We want to look to education, prayer, but we also have to never lose sight of love. In this proverb, as in most, we have a contrast. So we have the prudent, and then there's the fool. Well, what does the fool do? Well, in Proverbs 1, verse 7, it goes on to say, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools reject the fear of the Lord. They put away God. The root of their issue is spiritual. It's not mental issues, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual issue that the fool has to deal with. And what he has done in many cases is he's moved God out and he's moved self in. And so when the fool is acting and he has a decision to make, what's he doing? He's looking at self. What pleases me? What's in my best interest? All he cares about is himself. He also is very emotional about things. The fool flaunts his folly. He can be very emotional. And he's governed by his heart. What is my heart telling me to do at this moment? Okay, my heart tells me to do this. But you know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We got to be careful. Don't let your heart guide you. If your heart is guiding you, you will likely end up and being deceived. So, we have here some basic foundational principles of the prudent. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, and then also in everything, whatever we do, we're to act with knowledge. Whether we eat, whether we drink, no matter whatever you do, first and foremost, do all to the glory of God. We need to do everything in a way and acting with knowledge and keeping that in mind. Okay. So those are some foundational principles. Now let's talk about some characteristics of the prudent. Now, I passed out some verses because I'm trying to make sure we get this through this, and I have to confess, I don't remember who I gave what verse to. So if you really want to just avoid having to read anything, you can just say, I forgot to, Mark. But I would hope that you won't do that to me. So whoever I gave Proverbs chapter 10, would you read that, please? Okay. So, as we think about this, we have the prudent man. So what's the decision he has to make? What's before him? What's the path he has to decide? What's going on there? Right. And what time is it? It's summer, it's harvest. So the prudent man's going along through his life and he's facing harvest time. And as he's looking at harvest, he's saying, okay, I need to discern the path I should take. Now, the prudent man should apply God's word. And we see here in other passages, I'll try to get out of your way. So in Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever works the land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. That's Scripture. That's the Word of God to help guide him. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, if a man is not willing to work, let him not eat. So he applies that Scripture. He applies that knowledge. And as a result of these Scriptures, he then does what? As you said, he gathers. When he's faced with that decision, he gathers. As opposed to the other one, the fool who sleeps. And by gathering, he moves down the path of wisdom and he gets food. He gets provision. He has honor. That's the consequence of those actions. Whereas the fool, he sleeps. He has no food. He lacks provision. He brings shame to himself. But we also talked about, it's not only just the Word of God, but we can also look at education. Nature. We can learn from nature. Proverbs tells us, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways. You can just learn from the ant. And they gather their food and harvest. So just even from that alone, that can help us understand, what do we do at time of harvest? Also, the experience of others. In Ruth chapter 2, I think you're familiar with the story of Ruth. Naomi and Ruth came back. They're poor. What do they do? She understands from Leviticus that there will be provision for the poor if they go and glean the field. So what does she do? She obeys God's word. She acts with knowledge. She actually goes out. She gleans after the reapers. And she is blessed. God blesses and provides for her. So here's an example. The consequence is that she finds favor in the eyes of Boaz. She's provided for herself and Naomi because she's acted in accordance with God's word. All right. So what is the characteristic of the prudent? Diligent. Oh, I got it up there. Okay. See, I told you I'll try to keep this easy. From my view, this is a key characteristic of a prudent man. He's diligent. All right. Next one. This one may be a little bit more interesting. So, who did I give Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16? Oh, Stephen, in the back. Okay. So again, we have a prudent man. He's traveling down a path, and what is the thing that he faces? How is he going to respond to what, Stephen? Okay. But what is he responding to? What is the thing that he's responding to? Well, yes. So, the prudent man is, he sees an insult. Right? So what we're doing is you're going down your life, going through life, and what happens? Somebody insults you. Right? Never happens, right? So somebody's insulted you. How do you respond to that insult? Well, the prudent thinks about God's word, And he says, wait a minute, Proverbs 12:10 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. He goes on and thinks about Proverbs 19:11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. And then finally, in Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, but he who rules the spirit than he who takes a city. So you need to rule your spirit, control that emotion, control that anger. I mean, I want to respond. I want to tell you, you know, right? But that's the fool. He responds in anger. He blows up. He gives it right back at you. But it may be such an insignificant issue. You just cover it with love. Ignore it. And by doing that, you may preserve your relationship. You cover that sin. But if you blow up at somebody every time they insult you, because I hate to say it, we all sometimes don't think before we talk, and you end up destroying a relationship if all you ever do is respond. Well, we talked about God's Word guiding. Well, what about counsel? And I found this interesting. 1 Samuel 25. You recall Abigail's counsel to David. Do you remember what happened there? So David's men went to Nabal. Said, hey, could you please give us some food? Nabal says, who's David? I'm not giving you anything. Right? His men go back. David is insulted. What does David do? I'm gonna get him. I'm responding with anger. But you know what? Abigail comes and she gives him counsel. And you know what David says? He praises Abigail and thanks God for sending her to meet him and keep him from blood guilt and avenging himself with his own hand. He started down the wrong path. But counsel came and he got back on the right path. Sometimes we need to heed counsel. Also, I found this kind of interesting as well. Experience. David learned from this. It kind of struck me. Do you remember when Absalom led the revolt and David had to flee from Jerusalem? David's fleeing and there's Shimei cursing him. And he just goes on and he leaves. But then later, after the revolt is over and David returns to power, Abishai comes to him and says, he cursed the Lord's anointed. We should kill Shimei. What does David say? No. He's learned to control his anger. And he's learned by overlooking that insult, he helped to set an example for the people of Israel to pardon the offenses of others that happened at that time. All right. So again, characteristic is self-control. So the characteristic of a prudent man is self-control. Here's another one. One I need to work on. Who has that? Somebody has that. Does anybody have Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19? Oh, Al. Okay, Al, you're trying to slide away. This is an easy one. Okay. All right, so here we have the prudent man walking along. And what has he got to think about? What is he going to do? He's got to decide what? How do I use my words? Right? He's got to make a decision about the use of words. And as we already see in here, that where the words are many, transgression is not lacking. It's clear, just even this proverb. There is knowledge and instruction there. So he can see that the consequences sin where there's the use, where there's many words. Or if he restrains his lips, here he avoids that sin. Furthermore, in James 3, it goes on. There's a lot there that talks about taming the tongue. Right? So there's a lot in God's Word about the tongue and the use of words. And there's also experience of others. You know, in Matthew 16:22, you know, Peter, who's apt to do this, comes telling Jesus what to do, you know, says, you know, rebuking Jesus, you can't do that. And Jesus then responds and says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense. So in his many words, there was sin. So again, this is self-control. To me, that falls in the same category.
Okay.
This one is one that requires a lot of wisdom. Proverbs 12:23. Who has that? Okay. So, all right. We're walking along our life. What do we do with knowledge? I've got knowledge about something. What do I do with that knowledge? Excuse me? Spread it all around. That may be correct at some times, but in this case, we have to be careful. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge puffs up. So why are we, you know, why are we spreading that knowledge around? What's the heart issue? Maybe I want pride. Maybe I want praise. Maybe I'm just being arrogant and I'm not thinking about my brother who is the weaker brother, and I need to remember that that knowledge might cause my brother to stumble because I'm going to eat the food because I don't, you know, I know it doesn't mean anything if it's offered to idols, but for my brother, that's going to cause him to stumble. So I may need to conceal that knowledge, change my path, sacrifice my own understanding and knowledge and, you know, my own interest there, and not go ahead and eat that food. Well, also, James chapter 4 says it has to do with the humility and pride. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we need to examine our heart and think, am I doing that out of a heart of pride or out of, or am I humbly sharing that knowledge with someone? And I, you know, I was trying to think of an example of this, and this wasn't easy for me to find one, but Mary in Luke 2, Mary treasured up all these things. She kept them in her heart. Now, you know, Mary just gave birth to the Savior, to the Christ, to the Anointed. You know, she kept it to herself. She didn't go around and say, hey, my son is the Christ. I'm not the terrible person everybody thinks I am. I mean, she didn't go on and on and trying to protect herself and her own reputation. She was ridiculed by her friends, by neighbors, everyone. But she kept it to herself. There is a humility there that was amazing. And probably part of what built into God choosing her. I don't know that for a fact, so that's, I'm not being dogmatic. All right. But again, keeping in mind there are times when we need to conceal knowledge, and the pathway then leads us to humility. So I just think of this as a characteristic of a prudent man. A prudent man is humble. Okay, next. Proverbs 14:15. Who has that? Okay, so here we got our prudent man walking along. He's got information in front of him. And he just says, okay, what? I accept it? Or what? Do I think about it? Right? I mean, we got to try to work through that, right? So, what are some... I'm going to try to speed this up just for time. So, what is he applying? He's applying God's Word. Proverbs 23:23. One of Pastor Bell's favorite. Buy the truth and sell it not. Right? He wants to understand what is truth. By wisdom and instruction and understanding. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, you know, the father is talking to his son about wisdom and understanding and all these things, and he says, seek after it. Seek after it as though it were you were seeking silver. Search for it as treasure. So, it's an, you know, I think there's a principle there that as you're getting information, we want to seek the truth. And what's an experience of others? Look at Nicodemus. He didn't just listen to the Pharisees. He didn't listen to what everybody's saying. He came to Jesus himself, personally. I'm going to figure it out for myself. And I'm going to understand it for myself. I'm going to seek the truth. So I'd say that a characteristic of a prudent person is that he seeks the truth. Okay, the next proverb is Proverbs 15:5. That's Proverbs. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay, so again, just for time, I'm going to roll through this a little more quickly. So here we have the prudent man. He's got to make a decision. He's getting counsel. He's receiving counsel. So what does the prudent man do? He applies God's word and says, where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. And as he applies that knowledge, he sees and looks for the path of wisdom and sees, by heeding counsel, there's safety. If I ignore that counsel, I'll follow the path of folly. If I despise the counsel, there's potential for failure. An example, Rehoboam. He takes over. He doesn't listen to the counsel of his father's wise counselors. Instead, he listens to the young people. He increases the burden on the people, and as a result of that, what happens? He falls into failure. He falls into folly. The kingdom is divided. So, a characteristic of the prudent, he obtains counsel. Another one. And this will be, just read one of them. Yeah, they're the same. Okay. So here we have the prudent man walking along and there's danger. What do I do? There's danger. Right? So the scripture says in Deuteronomy 6:16, it says, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Who used that? Jesus. Yeah. Satan took him to the top of the pinnacle and said, throw yourself down. Jesus says, No. I'm going to apply God's word. I'm not going to put the Lord to test. I'm not going to expose myself to danger. What else? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. So as you're seeing danger, you're seeing temptation, there's a way of escape. We need to understand that. We need to act on it. Hide ourselves. Not go on. Keep going down in that road of temptation and then ending up suffering for it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthly passions. We're to flee. We're to hide ourselves. And an example, Elijah. This is interesting to me is that Elijah first is obeying God and going before Ahab and saying, hey, it's not going to rain. You know, God said. And he put himself in danger. But then the word of the Lord came to him and said, go, depart and hide by the brook Cherith. He didn't just stay there. He then understood there's danger. God's word that was spoken to him said, go hide yourself. He obeyed and he did not suffer from it. So, we see here characteristics of the prudent. Diligent, self-control, humility, seeks the truth, obtains counsel, avoids evil. But I'll submit to you the most important path to discern is the path to everlasting life. The decision to be made. You're faced with Christ. What do I do? There's so many verses. We need to repent and believe. If you're not a believer, if you haven't done so, understand this. All the rest doesn't matter. You need to deal with this one first. What are you going to do with Christ? You need to follow that narrow path that leads to life. If you reject it, you're a fool. Okay? I'll be blunt. You're a fool. Because the consequences are punishment for your sin, the wrath of God, and eternal damnation, eternal death. Well, as we wind down here, let's just review a few of the lessons from today. Okay? First of all, if we're being prudent, do we discern our path? Do we consider our consequences? Secondly, if we're being prudent, do we think and apply knowledge before we act? First and foremost, are we governed to seek to glorify God? Then, are we applying God's word? Do we get counsel? Do we learn from experience? Do we acquire knowledge? Do we pray for wisdom? And obviously, we always have to remember to act in love. Also, as we thought about these characteristics of the prudent, do you see this in yourself? Do you see yourself as diligent? Do you see yourself as one that exercises self-control? Are you humble? Do we seek the truth? Do we listen to godly counsel? Do we avoid evil, sin, temptation? If not, we need to work on those areas. We need to work on those areas so that we can be a prudent man. Also, there are blessings from following the path of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold." There's blessings. There are blessings for discerning your path, for acting with prudence, for following the path of wisdom. But those blessings are not necessarily financial. It's not necessarily wealth. It's not necessarily health. There's greater blessings for us. There's blessings of knowing the pleasantness and the pleasure of knowing our God. It is knowing that we have peace with God. And ultimately knowing that the final end of our path is a path of eternal life, a path where we will be with our God forever. That is the blessings of following the path of wisdom. But I have to caution us, we must never forget the reality and the truth that God is sovereign. Right? You know, we might act with knowledge. I mean, I'm a planner. I mean, if there's anybody, I mean, I am a planner. I want a plan. Boom, boom, boom. How's this going to work? Boom, boom, boom. And you know what? My plans don't always work out. Right? And we have to submit to God. We have to trust in God and know that, you know, many are the plans in the mind of a man. I've got all these ideas. But at the end, the purpose of the Lord will stand. God is sovereign. He is in control. I submit. If I'm to go, I might want to go this way, but if God says, nope, you're going that way, I submit and I go. And then lastly, remember the lesson from David. We all make wrong decisions, right? But when God brings a brother to you and counsels you and says, you know, from God's word, look, you're going the wrong way. Or you're reading the word in your devotions in the morning and God brings a scripture passage and you say, I never thought of it that way. I need to then understand that and use that knowledge and repent. Or today, when we're sitting under the word of God, when God's word is being preached and there's an arrow that strikes at your heart and it exposes sin, exposes the reality, you made a wrong decision, you're going down the path of folly, we've got to realize that we need to repent. And thankfully, God gives us that opportunity. And He will accept and forgive us. So with that, the wisdom of the prudent. Let's close in prayer. Our dear God, Father, we bow before You and we confess our weakness and our just failures so often as we go through our lives and face many decisions, many paths that we have to choose. And Lord, yet You're merciful to us. Lord, You have promised that You'll forgive us if we confess our sins. And Lord, we thank You that You are a forgiving God. And we just pray, Lord, that you know, as we seek to be more prudent, as we seek to understand the path of wisdom, as we seek to glorify you in everything we do, as we seek to apply your word, help us to do better at this. Forgive us and strengthen us and enable us to even live more for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.